Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine ND, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place. Hello, welcome to the Delaine MD Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast. This is podcast number 21. I can't believe we're already to number 21, but here we are. So today I want to talk to you about the three A's of change and how to begin to look at your challenges and your failures in your efforts to live a naturally healthy life and how they are totally neutral, okay? So these two things go together because a lot of times we want to look at our failures as if they're bad and horrible and shouldn't happen. We use this as an opportunity to beat ourselves up. And I want to talk today about how that just does not work. And it doesn't just not work because you feel cruddy, although that is real, but it really doesn't work because of these three A's of change that have to occur. So the three A's of change are awareness, acceptance, and action. Awareness, of course, is just being aware. Learning to accept it is the part we all get hung up on. But all of that has to happen before you can take an action that initiates change. So let's talk about our failures first. I want to talk about how to begin to look at those as neutral. We all fail at things. It just is something that happens. Sometimes it's a fail in our food choices, like in our healthy living efforts. Sometimes that's where we're failing. Sometimes we fail as a parent. We fail to send our kids in pajamas to the pajama day at school. Sometimes we make bad decisions or decisions we wish we would have made differently, maybe. Sometimes we fail to get lunch money on the kids' lunch accounts. Sometimes we get in fender benders. Maybe it's driving. And we had a failure in driving, but this just happens. This is just part of the normal human experience, right? These things happen. When we start to look at our failures as neutral, it allows you to accept them in the world, their existence in the world, and move forward. This is the way we begin to move past these experiences. I'm going to talk today about some pretty extreme examples, only to illustrate how learning to accept these experiences as being neutral is imperative to learning to move past them. I am going to review the thought model. I've done a podcast on the thought model. It's podcast episode number 12, but I'm going to briefly review it here so that nobody misses anything. But you can go and get more information in that other episode. So the thought model consists of five different components. There is the circumstance, which is always a neutral event, a neutral experience. There are your thoughts about that experience. There are the feelings that come from your thoughts, that your thoughts kind of induce in you. There's the action that those feelings drive, and then there's the result of those actions. The result of those actions always support or are related to that thought. It's just the way our brain works. So if you're getting the right feeling with the right thought and then the right action with the right feeling, the result usually will support or be related in some way to the original thought. So I'm going to give a quick example. I'm using the scale. The circumstance is 200 pounds, and again, this is a neutral circumstance. Everybody can look at the scale and see that the scale reads 200 pounds. No matter who's looking at it, you can see this. We all have thoughts about it. So for somebody who starts their weight loss journey at 200 pounds, their thought about 200 pounds might look something like, how did I let it get this bad? When did this happen? I can't believe I'm this heavy. This is horrible. Of course, all of those thoughts drive a feeling of embarrassed, disgust, maybe worthy issues. They don't feel worthy. They feel worthless. And that, of course, drives an action of wanting to hide. Nobody gets motivated from any of those feelings. Nobody feels like going out and taking on the world because of the feeling of disgust or worthlessness or embarrassment. That gives you a result that it is that bad. It is horrible because you can't even get to a place where you take action, right? Versus somebody who started their weight loss journey at 300. When they pass through 200, they think they're a raving badass. There's just nothing else to say about it. They think they're amazing. Their thought is, oh my God, look at all this amazing work I've done. Their feeling is motivated. Maybe their feeling is pride. Maybe their feeling is encouraged or committed. That leads them to an action of sticking to what they've been doing because you know what? It's working. And their result is they are a total badass, right? They continue to lose their weight and reach their health goals. So the circumstance of 200 is completely neutral, although a lot of people will argue with me about this, but it's totally neutral. The thoughts that we have about it are what's not neutral. And of course, that leads us to feelings and actions, which give us results that don't always support our goals. And that's kind of what we work through in coaching. But I want to talk about it back at this point of acceptance of our failures. The failure I'm going to use as an example today is an overeat. I'm going to say overeat, although that alone can be loaded, right? What does an overeat mean? Like, what's an overeat for one person might not be an overeat for another person. But I want to look at this, just for simplicity's sake, as an overeat being something that you ate more than you intended to eat. And that's just you being honest with yourself, right? And we all have these experiences. So you know what that looks like for you. I'm just going to use the phrase overeat to describe that experience. So you have an overeat. We have thoughts about that. A lot of times we tell ourselves that these things shouldn't happen because they keep us from reaching our goals. I should be better than this. I should be past this. We feel the feeling that gives us is typically something along the lines of disappointment. Sometimes it's ashamed or embarrassed. And then this drives us to avoid, like we run and hide. Anytime we're ashamed and embarrassed, we run and hide. Anytime we're disappointed, we don't like feeling like failures, so frequently we avoid things, right? So sometimes this looks like avoid making further plans. If I don't have to give myself a limit anymore, I don't have to navigate eating to that limit and avoiding the overeat, right? That's the action. You avoid doing something. Avoidance is still an action, right? You don't make a plan for yourself. And of course, you get the result that overeating does keep you from reaching your goals because you just got rid of the goal altogether and you stopped trying. So this is an example of where we are aware that a problem exists, but we're not accepting that it exists. In this example, we know that we have overeats, we have awareness of it, but we don't accept this as something that happens. We tell ourselves that it shouldn't happen. So shoulds and shouldn'ts are very funny things. So this is where some of the crazy examples, the kind of extreme examples that I was talking about, comes in. But I want to talk about shoulds and shouldn'ts. When we tell ourselves that something should or shouldn't happen, it gets us into a cycle of thoughts that leads to no beneficial or functional actions. If we tell ourselves it shouldn't happen, but then it did happen, but it shouldn't happen, but it did happen, but it shouldn't happen, but it did happen, there's nowhere to go from there. You'll always come back to this circle that gets you nowhere but feeling confused or even victimized, right? Maybe you are at the effect of that mystical monster that comes and shoves all that food into your mouth and makes you overeat. You don't feel like you have any control over it. It shouldn't happen, but it did happen. But it shouldn't happen, but it did happen. Telling yourself this cycle of thoughts is like pretending there's a different reality out there that where the world doesn't have this overeating issue, right? So recognizing that change can only happen after you become aware of the problem and you accept that that problem exists. If we're so busy in that thought loop of something being bad and wrong and that it shouldn't happen, but it is happening, you keep stuck in that loop and there's no way to change. There's just no way to get to the next step where you change. When you begin to accept that things happen, you start to take an action that supports a change. So an example of this, you find a spider in your house. The should not thought, right? The should, shouldn't, the shouldn't all over yourself thought, spiders shouldn't exist in my world. Spiders shouldn't exist in my house. You have a feeling of fearfulness or maybe avoidant. You hide. You don't look in the corners. You don't do anything about it. And you live fearfully, right? Then when you see another spider, you spin out into the thought of how they shouldn't be there. So you can apply this model, by the way, to all sorts of critters, snakes, scorpions, mice, pick your poison, whatever it is. But it looks all the same. If you're saying that it shouldn't happen and you're fearful or avoidant, you don't take any action from that place. What it looks like when you accept that it happens, spiders, scorpions, snakes, mice, whatever it might be, exists, what that looks like is you have a circumstance of, I found a spider in my house. A thought of spiders happen in houses all the time. I wish they weren't in my house, but I know that they happen. Spiders exist. You maybe have a feeling of acceptance or determined or even a feeling of, I'm going to handle this, right? I'm going to get this taken care of. What that leads you to do, the action that that feeling supports, is you call someone to come and spray your house for spiders. Your result is there are less spiders in your house, which is awesome because you wish you had less spiders in your house, right? Your result supports that idea that, yes, yeah, sometimes spiders happen, but I wish they weren't in my house, right? You now have less spiders in your house. That's how the acceptance works. And that's why the acceptance has to be there. If you continue to say that spiders shouldn't be there and that this shouldn't be happening, that doesn't get you to any functional action to where you get rid of the spiders. So another example, kind of upping the emotive quality of the circumstance, say your house gets broken into. A lot of people have this happen and their thought is, I shouldn't have to be exposed to this. This shouldn't happen. There are laws against this. People shouldn't be breaking into my house. Your feeling from that frequently is victimized. Actions that come from the feeling of being victimized are typically to hide so it doesn't happen again, or maybe complain to anybody that'll listen, or maybe even you bring the offenders to justice through the court system, but your result is always the same. Whether you're hiding, whether you're complaining, or whether you're prosecuting, nothing really changes. Your house still got broken into, which leads you back into the thought, well, this shouldn't happen. And it keeps you in this cycle. I feel victimized. I hide. I complain. Nothing changes. My house still got broken into. Well, that shouldn't happen. It leads you into this circle of thoughts that get you nowhere. So what it looks like with acceptance, when you accept that houses get broken into, so your circumstances, your house got broken into, your thought is this happens sometimes in America. People have houses get broken into all the time in America. This is just part of the human experience. Your feeling with that is coming to grips with it or handling it or accepting it. Your action is you file a claim with your homeowner's insurance. And your result is you recognize home break-ins totally happen in America. They happen so much in America that you, in fact, had a homeowner's insurance policy that protected you against this because you accepted the fact that you know that these things happen. So another example is a diagnosis of cancer. I do not have cancer, but that's the example I'm going to use, so I just don't want to start any crazy stories out there. So the circumstance, I got diagnosed with cancer. A lot of people have thoughts about this. Cancer shouldn't exist. I'm fighting against cancer. Let's wipe out cancer. Cancer is horrible. Nobody should ever have cancer. When we have those thoughts, we feel violated. We feel scared. We feel victimized. We feel offended. All of that causes us to run and hide. Frequently, we don't tell anybody and we pretend it's not happening. So when you do this because you feel violated or victimized or scared, you don't set up any arrangements, you still have cancer, you aren't living your life, you're busy hiding from it, and possibly you're not even really engaging in your treatment options, which makes it a whole lot more likely that you're going to continue to have cancer and possibly even die from it. So how this looks with acceptance is the circumstances, I got diagnosed with cancer. Your thought is cancer happens all over the world to human beings everywhere. This happens. That's acceptance, right? I'm accepting that cancer happens in the world. Your feeling is maybe acceptance or maybe determined or maybe committed or maybe it's, you know, that you're at a point where you feel like you need to go out and make plans. Like you're determined to get everything in order, right? So an action from that is you seek out treatment options. You get second opinions. You call your family and tell them that you got diagnosed with cancer and you're going to need them to rally together and help you. You call your church family and you say, hey, I got this diagnosis. I would love some prayers. My treatment regimen looks like this and I'm going to need any help that anybody has available, right? The result for that is that cancer totally happened to me and now I have a really fabulous plan and support network for overcoming it. That's what that looks like when you accept it. You have a functional plan. When you sit there and you don't accept the diagnosis, you don't accept whatever it is happening to you, It shouldn't happen, but it is happening. But it shouldn't happen, but it is happening. You get stuck in this loop that gives you no functional action to live your life or deal with the issue at hand. So accepting has to happen before you start to figure out how to go forward, how to fix it. When we label things as bad and we tell ourselves that they shouldn't happen, it keeps you in this loop of not figuring out a solution. Please hold the phone right now and I want you to hear something from me. A lot of people, they hear about this approach of acceptance of these events in their lives and they interpret that acceptance as learning to condone or as condoning or endorsing the circumstance. Cancer's fabulous. Breaking into houses is wonderful. We're all going to start doing it. These are not the same things, and this is not what I'm saying. So I'm going to say this again. Accepting that something, an event, occurs as part of the human existence is not the same as condoning or endorsing that experience. Examples of this: miscarriage, rare deadly diseases, car accidents that are fatal, deadly mishaps, toddler drownings, rape, child abuse, all of these things. They are horrible things that happen in the human experience. Accepting that these things exist in the course of a human life is not the same as condoning or encouraging it. It does not mean, just by accepting this, that your moral compass suddenly aligns with murderers and rapists. It just means that you understand that these experiences occur within the human existence. So the way I like to think of it, right now, somewhere in the world, there is another human being who's experiencing one of these horrible human experiences. What is it about me that makes me so privileged or special that these things shouldn't happen to me when they happen to those people, to other people? It's not that I like these bad things happening or that I condone them or that I think they're good. It's that I accept that these things do happen, because accepting that these things do happen can help us to learn to overcome and take a different path. So I just want to be really clear about that, because this can be very challenging for some people, but it is truly the way that frees you to deal with and overcome these issues. Sometimes as simple as an overeat, sometimes as horrible as some tragic event in your life. All of these things that you have to learn to accept that they happen in the human experience. And then that acceptance leads you to take an action that can change your personal experience of the situation. So I'm going to use overeat as an example. So overeats can look like you have an overeat, right? That's the circumstance, and we've already talked about that. Can mean a lot of different things for a lot of different people, but overeats in general, your thoughts can be, I shouldn't overeat, I should be better than this, I'm bad because I do this, or when I do this, I can't get my goals, or maybe it's something along the lines, I can't help but do this. When I have those thoughts, I have feelings that are something along the lines of embarrassed, or ashamed, or defeated, or a victim of the mystic snack monster that shoves food in my mouth. All of these things are the feelings that come from those thoughts that we tell ourselves about overeats or whatever other failure you might have in your health goals. When we have those feelings, our actions again are typically to run and hide. Or sometimes we give in and we wallow in that defeat. We just throw in the towel. Sometimes it looks like we try to implore willpower, like, I'm just going to fight it. I shouldn't want to be this way. I'm just going to fight it really hard. But the funny thing about willpower is it's a lot like muscle, and we expend that muscle. We overuse it. It fatigues, and we suddenly don't have willpower, and we're not able to continue to fight against whatever that is, that thing that is that we shouldn't be doing, right? Our result is always the same. We overeat again. Nothing changes. And we get back into that loop, right? Why? Because we shouldn't be doing it. It shouldn't exist. I shouldn't want to overeat. So when we learn to accept that this overeat happens, or skipping the gym happens occasionally, or eating flour and sugar happens occasionally, or we go off plan occasionally, when we learn to accept overeats as a part of the human existence, sometimes our thoughts are, sometimes these things happen. Even when I'm working on being a healthier person, sometimes these things happen. When we do that, we have feelings of acceptance, maybe of determination, maybe of commitment. Sometimes these things happen, even though I'm working on being a healthier person. You know, certainly can make people feel committed to what it is that they're working for. Our action might be to readdress your plan, make adjustments for situations where you know there's a high probability of overeating. And then, of course, your result is overeats totally happen, but now you're prepared for it because you're working on being a healthier person, a healthier version of you. So
I know, again, like when I talk about this with clients, this is a very hard concept to swallow down. But recognizing that you have to learn to accept all of these things in the world as part of the normal human experience before we can jump to that action and make a meaningful, sustainable change. We all, once we're aware of what's going on, that's the problem, we want to jump immediately to taking action. And that's just not how it works. You have to go from awareness to acceptance, to action. When you're telling yourself it shouldn't happen and that it's bad, you get in this loop of feelings and actions that really don't support any meaningful change. So I want you to try this. I want you to see where you do this in your life where you're telling yourself, well, I shouldn't be like that. And you run and hide and act like it isn't there. I want you to accept that, yeah, all of us have this problem. Every human being out there, we struggle with the most similar things most of the time. This is no different than every other human being out there, and I'm just trying to get through just like they are. How do I let this be? How do I accept it for what it is and move here and have some functional behavioral changes that will help support my goals? So I want you to see how that goes. Any questions, definitely hit me up, delaine@delainemd.com. I want to know your questions. I want to know your comments. I also want to know if this is some of the work that you feel like is really inhibiting your health goals. Send me a message. Let's set up a time for a consult and we'll get you in and we'll get you a plan for making 2020 the year that you really get healthy and start taking care of yourself. I hope everybody has a fabulous holiday and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.